This is the partner message for July and August of 2016. As you've noticed, we did not send a CD or a message to you in those 2 months. So many on vacation, our own staff on vacation, as well as issues here with the aftermath of the flooding out of the ranch that took place at the beginning of June, and so on. And so here we are, coming into September and the fall. Let me greet you from the summer that is past. One or two things to begin with. This is, to all intents and purposes, the last call for the Bible school, Module 2. It is to be held in mid-September, and we must hear from you if you plan to be there. And so those of you who have done Module 1, whether it was here in San Antonio a few months ago, or whether you took it by video DVD, if you've taken Module 1, then you are eligible to be with us for this most exciting module. It's one of the ones that are high up in my excitement, because we discuss there who is the human, who is mankind. And that in itself is an eye-opener, because very few people even begin to deal with that. And also, we ask the question of questions, what is sin? And of course, most people that you might talk to think of sin as probably committing adultery or murder, or in some places, chewing tobacco, that sort of thing. No. Sin is vastly different. And until you understand sin, of course, how do you know what Jesus took away? Okay, that's the module that's coming up in mid-September. And it's your last call before it happens. Okay, and then for everybody, the first weekend of December, we're there again already. It is our annual retreat, and it is promising to be a glorious one. For those of you that have joined this partner group in the last year, every December, first weekend of December, we have a retreat in San Antonio, and it is just to be there is, I'll use the word amazing, in the sense that you have a company of people, an auditorium full of people, all who are on the same journey as you. They are discovering the love of God. They're discovering that Christ is their very life. And they're discovering what emancipation from religion is. And each on your journey, and as you sit at the tables and you visit, you discover where people are at and where you're at, and the energy that is in the meetings, in the teaching, is nowhere surpassed. And so this is it. It's for everyone, but the partners, you get this news weeks ahead of others so that you can be sure to be there. And this year, we are dealing with the subject of living in the rest of God. That is, we were created to rest. All manner of the stress and anxiety and struggle, that all came in with sin. Satan is the author of such a life. We were created to rest. And when Jesus came, he who is the very being of God in flesh, He lived a life of total rest, without anxiety, without fear, and said in a general invitation, if you're weary, you're heavy laden, you're wiped out, burned out with the struggle to live, then come to me, I will give you rest. And then you discover in the epistles how that takes place. We are going to thoroughly look at this whole teaching, and I must emphasize to point out how to do it. It's the most practical weekend together. And so make sure you call our office and make your booking. And then finally, let me really thank you. That sounds as if I don't really mean it at other times. Of course, that's daft. But we're feeling it very deeply right now. Those of you who did not forget us during the summer months, and those who did, I know you didn't do it deliberately. It's vacations, it's kids, it's everything. But during the summer, we always... We're stretched, and I thank you, every one of you who sent your offerings, those of you that sent very special offerings, thank you. I cannot tell you how appropriate it was and how right on time your gifting was. Okay, I want to share with you some thoughts, and I'm emphasize that. I want to take a passage of Scripture and just walk through it with you to see what it's really saying. It's from the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 3, you probably have heard this or have it even hanging on your wall. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. Okay, there's a lot there. And as that's why I said we're going to sort of amble our way through it, because we could take 2 or 3 weeks on that. But I just want to share it with you. And I think the central word there is, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And that's the center of this, what that means. But the preface to it is that you are not to lean to your own understanding. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. That connects with, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. But it puts it in there, do not lean to your own understanding. It's an interesting word in the language it was written in. It is a word describing leaning on a cane. That is, when you've got a gammy leg and you need the help of leaning on a cane. And so the human is described as leaning on the cane of their own understanding. That would be all of your combined ancestor thinking, everything that came to you through your younger years, everything that was presented to you as absolute truth. And of course, that's the way it is. And anyone with common sense knows this, you know, that sort of stuff. Well, that became, you accepted that, and it became down there in that storehouse of your mind, it became your understanding. That was your know-how. It's how to live life. It's how to get along. It's streetwise. It means the man, the woman who is living their life quite independently of God. It's the kind of person that checks in with the Lord every so often, but essentially they guide their life. The compass by which they live is their own received understanding. And so, therefore, they live a life independent of God. They are on their own, and they are making their way in life, and if everything just falls apart, then they'll pray and wonder why it happened to them. And so these verses are getting inside of us before a meltdown. It's before everything goes wrong. It's before we make stupid decisions. Right there at the very center of our being, right there where there is that ever-bubbling well from which we draw the water of life. And it says, make a choice. You're not going to live by your own understanding. You're not going to lean on that crutch, on that cane. Rather, you're going to do something radically different. In all your ways, you are going to acknowledge Him. Okay, acknowledge. Acknowledge. It's a word we don't use very much today, but it's a great word. Let me spend the next minutes just pulling it out so we know what we're talking about here. Acknowledge, it's to recognize, it is to, what you could say, respect, and you know the word respect in English, that's a Latin word that we use in English, re, the word re means to do it again, and spect is the word that describes looking. And so respect means to take a second look. If you know you're passing down the street and then you suddenly turn around and did you see who that was? It's acknowledging, it's recognizing the uniqueness of another person. It's recognizing the presence of someone that you know, and they are now here in your life. You take note of them. They don't pass you like a ship in the night, okay? You take note. You take note. You stop. You take a second look. And you give place to that person. You acknowledge them. And here it says, acknowledge Him. And feel the emphasis of that. Acknowledge Him for who He is. Okay, get this picture. Acknowledge Him. It means as you're going along the path of life, don't go blind. Don't have your eyes closed to the person who is infinitely with you. Acknowledge Him. See Him for who He is. And when you do, take a second look and a third look and recognize the uniqueness and the wonder of this person. The person who is with you. The person who is here and the person who is now in this situation. And you see, that's the emphasis of this text. That you're in a situation and it's one of those situations the pressure is on and you've got to make decisions and you're walking blind in a fog and He is saying, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't just be the resume of your ancestors. Stop. Be still. And acknowledge there is one in whom you live and move and have your being. There is one who is limitlessly with you. Stop. Give place to Him. Let His wisdom, let His understanding, let His presence be your guide right here and right now. And it says acknowledge because this is a sure thing. You see, this God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, is with you now and is with you limitlessly. I know many of you have been taught that he pops in and out of your life totally dependent on how you lived in the last 2 hours. That, to me, is not only not Christian, it is paganism. We are dealing with the God who has revealed himself from the very beginning of the Bible as the God of covenant. And so his love for us is not, an emotional, romantic kind of love. Let me quickly say, his love is limitlessly emotional. He weeps over you, he laughs over you, he dances over you, he sings over you. And all that I just said is quotes from Scripture. Oh yes, but his love does not begin with emotion. It begins with a covenant commitment. He cannot, he will not cease to be who he is if he is not with you, if he is not with you loving you, if he is not with you committed to you, then he ceases to exist. For his presence with you is covenant. And that's what it means. If you break that, then you cease to be. And so as you're in life and you're looking forward into life, he says, acknowledge him. Recognize you're not in this alone. Recognize that your best ideas are not to be brought to the forefront here. Just bow your heart, open your being, acknowledge that the one who loves you is with you and in you. And at such acknowledgement, faith rises. You see, faith actually comes with the realization of who God really is. Faith is not something you grit your teeth and try to have. It's not that self-help stuff that you'll find in Barnes and Noble. This is when the Holy Spirit reveals to you who this God Father really is, then along with that, faith rises to trust him. For if that's who he is, then I trust him. And put it this way, for it deals a lot in terms of how we live life. It says in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance, and that's your whole substance, your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Well, think of it like this. If that's faith, the substance of things hoped for, then fear is the substance of things dreaded. And many persons live in fear, the dread of some unknown future. And that dread is because they do not acknowledge, they do not let the Holy Spirit open their eyes to see the person who is love and committed covenantally with us. Okay, the acknowledge. Did you notice that the center of this word acknowledge is the word know? And that for a very good reason, because the word know is tied up with acknowledge. You see, the word know there is that word of union relationship. It's the word used of two or more being one together. They never lose their identity, but they are wrapped up inside each other. It's the word to know. It's not intellectual, you see. It is nothing to do with knowing about. It is knowing by personal observation. It's coming to know someone by being with them through varied and different kinds of experiences. And you come to know them, and in knowing them, you trust them. In trusting them, you know them. And so it moves on. It's the word that is used throughout the Scripture to describe the marriage relationship. You know your husband, you know your wife, and you are at the same time coming to know them. And it's the same word that's used over and over again to describe our relationship with God. We know him. And that defines this good news, this that you and I are on the adventure of discovering. It's a relationship. You see, the gospel, this that Jesus brought to us, is not a list of rules. Oh, please, please understand me on this. It's not a list of rules. It's not that I have done this and done this and done this. You know, the poor fellow who says, well, I read my Bible 15 minutes a day and I pray for 10 minutes every day and I'm trying to witness to 3 people a day. Oh, come on. This is not keeping a formula rule list. This gospel is the news of a relationship. A relationship in which you are living and coming to know the person whose love has reached out and embraced you. Ever thought of Christianity like that? I know for some people it's a big jump to realize that they are in a relationship with the one who loves them. And it's not a matter of keeping rules and saying the right thing and struggling and trying to please God. You please God not by struggling to please him, but by stopping that and just resting in the fact that you are in relationship with him. And you know, relationship, as I've said before, relationship, a great deal of what we mean by that is telling the other person your story. You know, relationship is the gradual, as far as your trust will let you, you open your whole being and you tell the story of who you really are. And maybe you've never told anyone before, but when you enter into relationship, it begins. And sometimes you say just a little bit and it scares you spitless, but you come back and you share some more and you're letting your heart be known. You're becoming vulnerable. That's relationship. And then the person you're in relationship with, you not only tells their story, but they tell you how they see you. You know what I, you do know what I mean. The person now is telling you that you are beautiful, that you are a wonderful person, and they're seeing things about you that no one else has seemed to see. And you're daring to believe them. You're trusting, you see. You're trusting enough to open your life to them, and now you're trusting them to believe what they're saying about you. And all that in the Bible is in this little word, know. You know someone, and that's what is happening as you know them. This relationship is taking place. And God the Father, in the face of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, he's opening his heart to you as much as you can take it. And he's revealing to you the full spectrum of his love. You're discovering his kindness. You're discovering his patience with you, his long suffering. He's revealing to you his gentleness and kindness and goodness. I could go on, but you get the drift of it. You're in relationship with him who is love, and he's telling you his story. He's telling you who he really is, and the human brain would never comprehend it. The human brain would never make up such a God. He's too infinitely good. And he's telling you that through the scripture, through the Holy Spirit. And your mind, your heart is opening, you're hearing this is who he really is. But then he tells you who you really are. And you, I mean, you were taught, I know some of you'd have beat your breast and say, I'm unworthy, I'm unworthy, I'm no good, I'm a worm, and so on. And he just laughs at that and throws it away and tells you that you are his beloved, that he has purpose from before time until the ages of time for you. Yeah, that acknowledge. See, don't go blundering through life just repeating the resume of your forefathers. Stop. You walk in life in lockstep with Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Your life is his life, and his life is your life, and he's telling you the story of who he is and who you are. As you open your heart and you tell him who you think you are, and you tell him your life, and you're sharing, you're acknowledging him as you're in the middle of life. And so in the middle of that situation, you tell him the whole jolly thing. You tell him your what you perceive here. You tell him the pressures, and you tell him what you don't know, and you tell him what other people are saying, whatever it is that's the pressure. And then you listen, for you see, acknowledgement is you listen to someone. If you don't listen to a person, then don't say you're acknowledging them, you're ignoring them. But you listen, and you listen with joy, and you listen to do, because you know that it's love that is speaking. In fact, to acknowledge him, the very essence of it is to worship. And worship is to stand in awe. Actually, we read it, it's at the end of this passage where it says, fear the Lord. And the word fear, actually, in its most original meaning, means to worship, to stand in awe, to stand with your mouth hanging open saying, could this ever be true? Oh, come on. Surely you've been there, to recognize the love that God is in the midst of your life, and that your life in Christ and Christ in you. Is this really possible? Pinch me, am I dreaming? It's worship. I stand in awe. How could there be a God like this? He's nothing like the God that my ancestors told me about, who was mean, pissed off, and ready to judge. This God is on my side. This God loves me. He likes me. He delights over me. And he's sharing this moment of life together with me. You see, if you read through the New Testament, the key phrase would be in Christ. You could read John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, then read from Romans until the epistles of John, and just note how many times the expression in him, in Christ, abide in him, it's really, if you underline it, you're making the pages of your Bible just one spotty lot, because it's all over the place. In, how many times does it say in Paul's epistles, in Christ, in the beloved, in him? Those passages in John, they're, it seems tripping over yourself saying, abide in me as I abide in you. Except you abide in me. We are in him, as a branch is in this. Do you realize this? That when you were included into Jesus, and Jesus dwells in you by the Holy Spirit, hear me very carefully, there is no separation. Christ is your very life. He dwells in your thoughts and imagination. He dwells in your central will. Christ is in you. There is no separation. You are totally you, and he's totally him. Yet you are one. And he is in the Father. That is, he in the Father, but they are one. And it says Christ is in the Father, the Father is in him. Well, I've just said that you're in Christ, which means that you are in Christ, in the Father, and the Father's in Christ, and the Father in Christ is in you. And all that, says John, because the Holy Spirit is in you. Do you realize? The Holy Trinity dwells in you as you are in the members of the body of Christ. No separation. That's acknowledging him, you see. It's acknowledging I'm not alone here. I don't have to pray in a certain manner to get God over here. You know, the poor persons who live their life thinking that God is the Coast Guard, and if I can send up enough flares and put out enough SOS, he'll come and get me. How tragic. For he dwells in you. Father and Son and Holy Spirit dwell in you through that Spirit. No separation. No having to get his attention. If this means anything, acknowledging him means he's trying to get your attention. But he's never separate. You can't put a razor between us. We are in and share the same history, share the same riches, share the same treasure. And all this is true in this very ticking moment of time, which means then acknowledge him. Stop. Take a second look. Realize who he is. Realize he is your life. Realize then who you really are in him. Or as David said, as far back as the Psalms, the Lord is my. I never get over that. All that God is, I say my. We share a common life. Or as the New Testament says in 1 John, as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. See, this is really what it means, especially in the Old Testament. Do you remember it says, seek the Lord? Now, it was always a puzzle to me, because there's so much from beginning to end of the Bible to say what I've just been trying to say in the last half an hour, that we're living in him and he's living in us. Then how do you have to seek him? It sounds like he got lost. No, it means this word, acknowledge. It means seek him. What's he doing in this situation? What is he saying to me in this situation? I'm seeking to know this one who is limitlessly with me in this situation. What do you have for me here, Father? I don't like this situation, but I know you're with me in the middle of it, and you are working out your purpose. What do I need to know about that? I would like to know what you're thinking, you see. What promise do you have for me? What specific grace of the Holy Spirit are you seeking to put into me as part of my life because of this situation? To acknowledge the Lord is going to change your conversation. If you listen, the persons you might hang out with, work with, even go to church with, you might note that many times their conversation would indicate that they live a life independent of God. They check in on Sunday and have a vague sense of a God remote somewhere that shows up when I need him. When you acknowledge him, when you recognize the fact that he is with you, is in you, and you are in him, and that totally changes how I look at this situation, you'll find that you don't fit in with the conversation that you hear. Conversations of anxiety, conversations of fear, dread, conversations of doing my best, trying my hardest, try to have some joy. I'm doing my best to be at peace. All that. No, you suddenly don't fit. You can't join in with that kind of conversation unless they press you and you share how you see things. And of course, if you are thus sharing life, if all of your life takes place inside Jesus, who is inside the Father and the Spirit, if that be the case, then your business, your checkbook, which is the reflection of your business, is not just yours. It isn't that you're part of life. It's your checkbook, your business, your profits. They are inside of the Holy Trinity, and the Holy Trinity is inside of your checkbook and budget and the rest of it. And that's why it ends this passage that we read, that you honor the Lord from your wealth and the first of all your produce. It is saying you're not separate, and therefore your checkbook and the profits of your business, your living, they're not separate from Him who is your life. And it says, honor the Lord. That is, He has access to your account. And he can urge you to use it and to let you join in with the joy of His giving. There was one person who sent us during the summer months, and let me thank you. You know who you are, at least you will in a minute. Because in sending their gift, they said that they were doing this, and they were, and I quote, they were giddy with joy and hilarious in this. They'd never known such joy, just in the act of writing the check and sending it, and thus honoring the Lord and giving the first cream of their for their stuff. That goes with the territory. My life is His. There's no part of life that's lived outside of Him. How could it be? And He says the result of that will be you will be full of health. How much sickness comes from all that goes with a life that is leaning on your own understanding? All the anxiety, the fears, and the fears over your money, that I can never really enjoy it, you see, because I'm always afraid I'll not have enough. And when I've got enough, maybe I'll lose some of it, so I better get more than enough. And He's got more than me, and I can't let Him think I've got less than Him. All the stress, the anxiety that goes with money, just that alone. But the stress and anxiety that goes with the other decisions in life, major decisions in life, all the anguish of heart, the ripping of our physical person through bitterness and envy and jealousy and malice and slander, and that all is flushed down the toilet when I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways. Totally flushed away. And it says, then you shall be healthy. This is divine healing without anyone laying hands on you. This leaves what is of a different source. Then we can pray. Call the elders of the church. But there's so much here. It says, your healing of your body, refreshment to your bones. And bones, that's where it's not only the skeleton that holds you upright, but the bones is where all your blood cells are made. It's the very source of life within you. Now, it says here, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. So all that we've just said about acknowledging Him It says we do that in all our ways. Notice all, for that covers the whole spectrum. Everything from hilarious joy in manifest goodness of God to weeping over loss and hurt and confusion while still recognizing the goodness of God. But I mean, that covers everything, all your ways. Days that we might label bad, days that we might label good, but it says in all your ways acknowledge him. Now this word ways is a neat word, because you see, this is before the days of concrete. You do know that. It's before the days of making roads out of tar and whatever else they do. How your way, you see, and the word way, it would mean a pathway between houses, a pathway through the woods, a pathway. And so it's in all the pathways, understood, pathways of your life, in all your pathways. But how did they make pathways in those days? This is very important. It's a major thing. Well, it's a major sub-thing of the scripture. The pathway of the days in which Old Testament was written was made by treading. It's pretty obvious when you think about it. How do you make a path? You keep walking the same path. And doing so, you deliberately, with force if necessary, put your foot down and impact the ground. And so gradually the grass ceases there, and you have a path that becomes harder and stronger and more defined. A pathway is made by putting your foot down, or the Bible translation, which is a pretty good one, is tread. Do you remember? You read through what? Well, really the first five books of the Bible, but it gets in Deuteronomy, then in Joshua, it speaks of, wherever the sole of your foot shall tread, that I have given to you. Very important word. It crops up here and there like that. Well, what's it saying? The pathway of your life is made by deliberate, intentional treading. That is everything I've just said about acknowledge. I'm not going to repeat it, but everything I've just said, it doesn't just happen to you. You just don't sit there and let the wind of life blow through your brain and you somehow get there. Or you don't wait for some very important preacher to come who's a reputation of laying hands on you and that will deal with all my problems. No, it says you tread. You put your foot down with intention. You tread all your pathways, all your treaded ways. Important. Wherever the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. That is, he is saying, in your life, you acknowledge the Lord, but you do it with intention. You do it deliberately. Do you understand me? This is not describing a stroll in the park, you know, an aimless stroll. No, this is putting your foot down with purpose. That is, I'm not just waiting for God to show up. Rather, I am acknowledging he is here. I'm putting my foot down and I'm smashing my feelings underfoot. And I'm saying, this is the way it is. It's the way it is. This is not that fearful walking backwards, sort of a moonwalk. You know, you're walking forward, but really you're trying to walk backward. You're walking into something you're trying to avoid. resisting it, if you're being dragged to the goal. No, that's not this. No, this is a deliberate putting your foot down and making a path. This isn't being timid, as if you're trespassing. That I really shouldn't be here. This isn't for the likes of me. I'm unworthy. Do you remember the spies who went into Canaan? And their report was, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Well, grasshoppers, good grief. You were supposed to go in there, and the word was used, tread the land. That is, put your foot down and say, God has given us this land. Instead, they said, we're like grasshoppers. That is, we're apologizing for being here, and we just chirp and jump out of the way before they put their foot on us. And we're terribly sorry to be upsetting you today. We don't mean to interrupt your barbecue. You know, that is, we feel like trespassers here. At best, we're tourists. We're not supposed to be here. This belongs to these gigantic chaps. No. Do you understand me? Treading, putting your foot down with purpose. It's intentional living. It is living on purpose. You don't let life happen to you. You happen to life. You impact it. You own your space. You own this part of your life. Brings a boldness and a confidence. Wherever you are in life and whatever, you're not just drifting with the stream. You're not just reliving your resume. You are here with intention. You're acknowledging God. What's up, Lord? What are you doing here? What are you revealing to me of yourself that I've never yet seen? What is it you want to give to me because of this situation? What's up, Lord? What are you doing here? Can I be a part of it? You go to work with intention. Not saying, thank God it's Friday. But rather, you are with intention. You're moving into Monday and Tuesday and so on. And this day is my day in which I in Him and He in me. I acknowledge Him. And I follow His lead. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, in all the treading out of your pathway, in all, every detail of every path, nothing is excluded. It includes every minute of every hour. And that doesn't mean that you've got to go and be in some human designated holy place. For you are a holy place. You are the temple in which the Holy Spirit lives. And therefore, wherever you go, you bring the holy presence of God. And it means that when you're playing on the sports field, that He's in you, He's with you, He's having a jolly good time with you. Please understand that, because you see, I was raised to believe that if you had fun in life, the Lord was somehow left behind. He was only at home in church, you see. That's ridiculous. He enjoys Disney World. He loves fun, play. He invented us to enjoy, and He enjoys it in us. He enjoys it with us. He loves a day at the beach, you see, with you. Okay, you get the point. There's no item is excluded. There's nothing in your life that is unimportant. Those most mundane details are doorways through which you discover the God who never leaves you. I've never been able to comprehend the person who says, I'm bored. I mean that. Bored means my life is empty, meaningless, without purpose, and I'm just hanging here until something happens to me or someone enters my life that will give meaning, purpose, and some sort of happiness. Dear Lord, Now in all your ways acknowledge him. You cannot be bored because he is energetically present to and alive in every moment. Every moment. So you see, acknowledging God in every moment is our natural. Some might call the life I'm describing as supernatural. It's not supernatural. It's perfectly natural for a person who is in Christ. This is our normal. This is the normal of the new covenant. That all of our life, think about it. As you open your eyes upon a new day, all of your life is the arena for the Holy Spirit. And then, well, let me say this. It means that there's no such thing as an event-oriented Christianity. Do you understand what I mean by that? And it's interesting that persons who believe that use the Old Testament stories to illustrate their message. So, you know, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, not upon others. I mean, they had the event of Gideon rescuing the people. It was an event. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, but that was it. It was an event. It was a sort of red letter day, or week, or month even. The New Testament knows nothing of that, because the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came in a final sense and entered into believers. And we were baptized into that group of believers. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit is our normal, not events. No, it isn't that God visits us. And I'm sorry, but you know, there are so many cliches used in church meetings, and it's important that we recognize it, because if you believe them and if you keep hearing them, you're going to believe them. So that, you know, God showed up, or we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Hold it. He was here before you. He welcomes you if you're going to go that route. No, this idea, do you understand me? Visitation as if God comes and God goes. And there are these moments when we obviously everything I've been talking about, but then of course it goes. It's what used to happen. I don't know if it still does in some areas. The old fashioned camp meeting in the summertime, they'd go to the hills, and there'd be this wonderful visitation. But somehow he got left in the hills, and by Christmas time you were wiped out, burned out, and needing to get resaved. And that's how church went? No. 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 In him I live, I move, I sleep, I eat, I work, I play, I live. He is my life. And in me he lives and he thinks and he imagines and he speaks. It's not visitation. That's why you'll never hear me use the word revival. Because the word revival means life has departed and it now means to be revived. You see, the word vive or vival, Latin word for life. Re, as I said a moment ago, does it again and again. And so you need to be re-lifed. You need to be re-resurrected. Come on, no, that was done once and for all in the resurrection of Jesus. Revival is something Old Testament, not us. We don't have events, red letter days. We don't have the visitations of God that are unique and unusual. We live in him. Or we discover him more and more. And there are days when we discover so much, we feel that this has got to be a red letter day. Well, if you want to use that term, it means you've entered into a new phase of red letter life. You've discovered something about him that you'll never be the same. But not this visitation. It's you're just opening up into the fullness of life. Every detail of your life, you see, will either make you harsh and cynical, bitter, or you'll recognize as continual doorways that open you up to discover His love. Well, I think I've said it there. It's verses of tremendous importance. They see the book of Proverbs. You'll never read there of anything that some people might call spiritual. It never talks about reading the scripture. It never talks about going to church or worship or anything like that, except in such a context. It's written for regular people who go to work and have relationships with neighbors and with fellow workers. And how do you live this life? And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. And the call to seek the wisdom of God and not lean to your own understanding. That's what it's all about. And if I could share that with your heart today, then I'm satisfied that you will realize this life in God, that is life indeed. Well, again, let me thank you both. Nancy and I thank you. You have not only given during these summer months, but also back there in June, some of you were there to help us with the flooding that we had here, along with the rest of South Texas, and what Baton Rouge is experiencing right now. Thank you for bearing us up in these days. And I trust that we shall meet you at the retreat, some of you at the Bible school, and I will be back to share with you in the month of September. The blessing of the Lord be richly upon you in all that you touch, in all that you say and do. So I bless you, and so it is.